Welcome back to Real Tech Talk, episode number 41. For the first time, we have a three-time successful entrepreneur in the tech space who has realized, you know what the best way to get paid in it? Is create proprietary software in-house to a laggard industry like the finance space, and he just raised $450 million. So you better sit down and listen to what he has to say, because the proof is in the pudding. He's getting it done.
That's why we're here, bro. This is Real Tech Talk. Boom shakalaka. So who the hell are you, bro? You know, what are you into? What do you do? Dude, you just keep it real here. Tell me about these real estate players.
Eric Brody is the managing principal of CEMVC LLC. All opinions expressed by Eric and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of CEMVC LLC. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of CEMVC LLC may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.
Welcome back, Real Tech Talk, episode number 41. Today, my homeboy just raised $450 million at Ease Capital. And for the first time on this show, their technology is not for you. This is for their business. They raised $450 on it on a debt model he's going to talk about, but his history is intense. You better sit down. You better pay attention. My man, Charlie, thank you for coming through, player.
Pleasure.
Well, you like that? You like that intro?
Love it. It got me pumped.
That's right. Coming at it, I wanted to talk about this. I was like going to say to you, 2007, you went to Miami, University of Miami. So everyone out there who's like, you can't be successful unless you went to Harvard, better sit down and listen up, because you could be fucking huge out of Miami.
I think at 17, deciding to go somewhere warm is a great idea.
I think it was very smart, seems but like it wasn't MIT, it wasn't Harvard, and you just raised $450 million. So let's get into it, all right? And then we'll get into what Ease is doing. But everyone loves to hear, like, where the hell did you come out of? And people might have heard of you, but in the past, because of this little company called Reonomy, give me that play-by-play. How'd you get here?
Throughout school, never knew what I really wanted to do.
Great. Talking my language.
Yep. Family really wanted me to be a lawyer, and went to law school, dropped out after one semester. The law school thought that having professors who were practicing attorneys was a good idea, but they were all miserable every day. So I was like,
so you knew to get the hell out of there.
Like, this is clearly not for me. And then, you know, background was more in like math statistics and like product development.
So you had a scientific and mathematical mind.
So yeah, I started playing around with like some of the very early languages when I was 11 or 12.
Computer languages.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In your side hustle, you know, just chilling, well, you know, you liked computer languages.
Yes. And the, yeah.
So are you really an anonymous?
I would be much more interesting if I were. And didn't really know what I was going to do. And then while I was in law school, I met up with friends, as people do. And one of them, a few years older, was working as an analyst in a very, very large institutional investment firm. And he starts complaining to me that...
What year? Give me a year.
It's 2008.
And that's... What's the tech in real estate at that point in 08? Like, what even exists?
Didn't exist. The word prop tech didn't exist.
Okay.
And then he started complaining to me. He's like, we're making this investment. They told me to write the investment memorandum. Like, we want it to be 100 pages. And he's like, but the information that they want me to put in it doesn't exist.
What was it though? Was it a real estate offering memorandum?
Yeah, it was a large institutional real estate investment firm. And
it was an acquisition, redev?
It was an acquisition.
And they were raising on it?
No, they just have to put investment memorandum together.
To get through their board. They already have the capital, but we got to sell the committee.
They were like they knew they were doing the deal. They had to do it as a formality for IC. So he's just venting about how...
And IC is internal committee?
Investment committee.
Okay.
So he's just venting about how the information that was requested to be put into this 100-page memo did not exist. Mm. And no, that was something that I understood really well.
Which was aggregating data?
Yeah, and
that's what statistics is, right? Like your ability to input data and then create theses from it? Just
find it and extract. Find it, tell stories with it, make information more.
You were a data scientist before that wasn't a word either, right?
Yeah, a data scientist today would not call me a data scientist. Uh-huh. But so I had to validate that. So I called some friends that worked at banks and I said, hey, do me a favor, get me 5 minutes with the real estate lending folks. And I would go in and I would say, I have nothing to show you and nothing to sell to you, but I bet I could do your research better. Tell me what everyone does. And because there were no like systems in place to help out, like, so people had, you know, a lender had 2,000 loans, they would like constantly be manually collecting information on those. And then they wanted—
But let's talk about that data and how readily available. So we're talking about comps in the area? Or are we talking about like what information was relevant to those underwriters?
So anything, just updating all the information that existed that they had on their portfolio, and then also manually collecting information on the rest of what was going on in the market so that they could target new financings.
Okay. So humans.
Human, yeah. And they were doing it on a querying on a property by property basis. It's like in New York City, there's like 1.1 million.
Talk close to the mic.
So in New York City alone, for context, there's like 1.1 million properties. And nationwide, there are over 50 million. So,
but what's some of the data? Like, you're right. You're looking at this and you're going, he's like, I got nothing for this report. But what would he have needed? Give us five variables. You're like, yeah, that could be solved. What were those variables? Was it comps? Was it interest rate comp competitor interest rates on debt? So, was it
what? So comps and then being able to pull all the prices per unit that were all the units that were traded and leased, information on each of those so that you can create the statistics and like where the investment itself falls within what's going on in the universe. I believe on that deal, it was like a rent stabilized property with rent stabilized units. So looking at being able to look up rent stabilized units and other assets that were similar and looking at the velocity of those units being brought free market over time. So you
right, which was a big play pre 2019, yes. Right? Like, exactly. Interesting.
So most of it, you have to create that market color. You need property level information, and then it's just how you roll it up.
And where was that being at that time? Was it a phone call? Like, how archaic was it?
So it was a mix of phone calls and a limited number of city systems. A lot of information is collected.
Right, you go to HPD website, which was shitty,
is that
or
city
you were trying to piece it together.
Exactly, city level, county level. And the information is not collected for like the purposes that the real estate industry wanted to use it. So it wasn't, the information didn't communicate the insights desired by the real estate community.
So what did you do?
Gathered it all. So,
which means you created a code.
Yes.
Like legit, coded. Can we crawl, find this information, bring it back together, codify it into a document that we can actually read or analyze? Yes.
So the very earliest versions, we created a couple tools to download that information. It's funny. This is how long ago it was. We got from New York City, there's a data set called like RPIE information.
Yeah, sure. Real property income and expense.
And it's made available when people like challenge their—
Yeah, FOIL, Freedom of Information. Taxes, yeah, of course.
Right? They have to submit more detailed information. We would have to pick that up on CDs from their office, on like CD-ROMs.
Word up.
From their office, brought it all together. And once we were able to manipulate it the way we wanted, I was able to do the reporting that people were trying to do manually.
In an app? cloud-based application.
It didn't start that way at first. It was to validate the whole thing. I was effectively doing like consulting work and reporting. Depending on what they wanted, it could
right. You pay for your report.
Yeah, but it was stuff that would take teams of people like 4 days to 8 weeks to do, and I could turn it around in a day, and it would be much more comprehensive.
And that was Reonomy.
That's how it started. And then eventually, once you know, you deal with a lot of different potential customers, they tell you what they need, you eventually figure out exactly where the concentric circles are. Right.
Right. So you're not whale hunting and changing up every application for a specific company. You're like, this is what we will provide for you.
Yeah. You speak with 40 people, 28 say, I need A, 24 say, I need B to buy. You know, 18 say, I need C to buy.
And you were the programmer? Originally? Like you did it?
If I wasn't programming an app. I was working with data. We built a team to do that. I still, everything I've done since, now on the third company, I've worked with the same CTO.
It's awesome. Reonomy. So you then created a user experience, you packaged that, and that's Reonomy. And when was Reonomy really flying? What year was that?
It really started to move in the format that people know it today, like 2013 form as like a, was really, I think like the demarcating year of like.
And what's interesting is like that was like the first penetration in prop tech was aggregating data. Like it's huge. Like you were that guy.
Only by accident.
Well, and your partners. No, I'm not saying that. Now, did Reonomy was eventually sold, right?
Yeah.
To who?
So we built it to a few thousand of mid-market and enterprise clients, and it was acquired by Altus, which it's a company. Their main product is called Argus, which is valuation software that's really popular.
And it was it public what you sold it for?
Yes, it was. So that sold for a bit over 200.
Damn! Whatever you would have said, I would have done that, by the way. All right, so now what do you do? What year was that?
So that was...
2014, you flipped it? Or no, that was when it was popping off.
No, that... Yeah, I had been edit for quite a while. So I moved on in 2016. I thought I would take a break from the entrepreneurial universe.
Yeah.
It does take a lot out of you. And I actually joined a New York City real estate private equity firm that had about 2,000 units, a couple million square feet.
What firm was that?
It's called Delsha.
And weren't they also doing debt also? Not just acquisition and
they don't originate they did not originate loans.
Okay.
While I was there.
So you're working there, and what happened? Another problem came to you that you're like, what am I doing? I'm out.
So we started building a tool to be able to identify assets that were distressed before they become distressed. And
which, by the way, I did as well, but I'm fucking way behind you, damn it.
So we brought on some partners, and what I loved about it is that it was really interesting and it worked.
But, well, it would give you that potentially could be distressed, but now you had to get to that human and you had to now incorporate, meaning there were variables. You're like, there is a precursor to distress. It could tell you that, but you still had to do something.
Yes, and... You probably know this better than me. Every complicated real estate project is its own special snowflake. Right? And I'm very used to building a machine that does a thing over and over repeatedly.
Right.
Right. Without kind of intervention.
Right.
So I was with Michael for almost 4 years when thinking to myself, what other types of debt could you use information to get insightful about?
In, for you, a lack of snowflake-like box.
A lack of snowflake-like box, which meant something highly liquid. And the thing that I became like very strangely obsessed with was residential mortgage-backed securities. So those are have the Fannie Freddie
Jimmy. Wait. Because it was the only asset class that seemed to have been standardized for you when it became to the application in the real estate space.
So, and it is, it's just incredibly liquid, something like $60 trillion a year.
Right, because that was because Wall Street got into, can we package these bad boys, sell them off in different bond tranches, and we could make it a more liquid space.
Exactly. So, and today it is. It's like...
Wait, so this is like 2018, 2019?
So I left my role in 2019 and in 2020.
What was your idea now?
Which is creating bond analytics. So we previously created like commercial real estate.
Right. It was aggregating data on commercial real estate. So was it disparate data?
I think yes, but the important thing about both Reonomy and Pragmic was that we were creating novel data points. So it wasn't purely the collection of information and giving people ways to find what they're looking for and analyze things in ways they couldn't have before. We created data points that didn't exist previously.
Right, this is the only raw data, but if you apply them in different formulas, you can come up with this new data point, which probably is better information for you. So creating business intelligence from it.
Exactly. So on these pools of loans, you don't get that much information on them. You'll find out like there's a loan in a certain state that was originated around a certain time. At around a certain amount. That's what you get.
And you wanted to know the literal address.
So the way that universe works and prices is that you know based on a couple characteristics, approximately, like the universe is so large, it's very statistics driven. You know approximately if a loan is going to prepay faster or if it's going to prepay slower.
But is that like an insurance thing where they're like, well, their credit score is at X and this is at Y and we found in the past that's what happens.
So things like credit scores, the balance of the loan. So like for example, there are fixed costs to refinancing. So if you have a low balance mortgage, because of the fixed costs, even if you can reduce your rate, it will take years to
pay off those costs. As long as they're amortized. So you were able to determine that.
So we were able to create new stories that didn't exist beforehand, right? So
give me an example of one.
It's in a hurricane zone.
Right. That wouldn't be in a pool, right? Because that doesn't fit the variables that you were getting.
Yes. So at first, like, oh, we're going to trade off of this. And then we very quickly realized we've never traded any security before.
Right.
We have no idea how to do this. So like, all right, we're going to turn this into another enterprise.
Another Reonomy, right? I'm going to sell the data.
Mm-hmm. Enterprise software as a service platform. And that one was eventually acquired as well.
By a company that then sold. So that's your second major out of you worked for someone, which is, it sounds to me, whoever you then go work for, you're going to spin off into a successful tech business, right? But that's fucking nuts, dude, that you then did that. I think it's nuts just in, yes, you perceive the universe differently. You then make an attempt to create a technology for that industry, and then it winds up people needed it, and you just were doing it for yourself. It's pretty wild. You're just living, bro. We're just living. So now, what about now, right? Because now it sounds to me like you pieced that together. You're like, you know what? We're going to come up with this solution, but it's for us. So what is now Ease?
So Ease is a
lender,
direct multifamily lender.
I love that. I think these technologists need to start to understand, like, if you say tech in the answer, like, that's not what it is, right? You are a direct multifamily lender.
Right.
And you just raised money to lend money.
I learned this early. I've made probably more mistakes than most, but that conversation is really about like product marketing versus use case or value marketing, right? Like, I love building stuff. So I can talk about those things in like great detail all day, but you know, at the end of the day, no potential client necessarily cares about like this little whiz bang component of it. It's at the end of it, it's like, what's it going to do for me?
Right.
And
so give us the top line thesis without ever saying tech. Give us the, what's the top line? Meaning we are a fund, we're directed to this box. You say, and I know it's a box because now I understand how you operate. Is how do I standardize a box? What is it?
So I'm sitting on a plane and the guy next to me is, this is like the very end. This is, we really start talking about this in like the very early 2022, mm-hmm. or the very end of 2019. And we met on a plane. We're sitting there and we start talking, and it's a guy, his name's Ryan Simonetti. He's the co-founder of Convene. And we had never met, but we lived in the same space. He started Convene around the same time.
Convene was...
Still is.
No, but Convene is...
it's like a tech-enabled events and hospitality.
Oh, wow. Company. Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah. He has an incredible story. We start talking. His background is as a lender. And he's like, he really thought that you could, if you had real focus as a lender, you could create standardized tooling to help do it more efficiently. So,
by the way, people should listen because I feel like that application is to many different things right now.
Almost all of life. It's exactly. Why people, like some people wear the same clothing every, not the same exact t-shirt, but the similar t-shirt.
Well, they hopefully wash it.
Yes, they do.
And I think something fascinating is just better. You didn't say change the universe. You just said better.
Yeah.
So it's a lending platform. So, what's your bucket?
So it's an absolute run-of-the-mill, normal multifamily lender. And there are three main differences to it. The first is that...
Well, it's also macroly, a lot of regionals are out. So it's a good thesis I think I'm just trying to explain to people, like, the business thesis, the macro... Not anyone, only people who are interested in managing that capital can do it, but we've never talked about anything to do with technology or anything yet. $450 million raised for multifamily lending at a time when regional lenders have left.
Yes, but we started before that happened.
Right. So you said
three main differences. One is that we realize that 97%, over 97% of all multifamily and mixed-use properties in the whole country have under $30 million loans.
We learned good bucket to be in just because our hit rate will be up.
Yeah. The second thing is that that space is predominantly served, to your point, a lot of local and regional banks, credit unions, the agencies. And then local lenders.
Yeah, high net worth.
Right, local, mm-hmm. right? And like for transitional bridge, like hard money. And what doesn't exist there is institutional money that focuses mid-market and up-market, right? Because it's a lot more efficient.
Yeah, one deal putting out 300 versus 30 deals putting out 10. It's just...
And you can evaluate 50 deals to put that out instead of 5,000 deals to put that out, which is just an operational...
And we saw it in single family home, right? Invitation Homes exactly. is like, how do you now standardize single family home?
Exactly, right? So a lot of people are always like creating theses.
I like theses.
Right? A lot of people are always looking for like that niche. Just so happens this niche is enormous. So, but if you think about, you know, a 20, you know, real estate very, very, very well. if you think about like a $20 million, $15 or $10 million multifamily building in New York City versus a $50 or $60 or $80 million one, you know, your same market, you're the same asset class, sure, same market forces, oftentimes significant overlap in who your borrower is and the operational capability of that borrower, like very similar from like a credit perspective. So our number two is, how do we bring differentiated capital to the lower mid-market and small balance that we wanted to focus on?
Which still has nothing to do with tech.
It's nothing to do with tech.
Which type of capital would be interested?
Exactly. It would be interested and allow us to offer something different, mm-hmm, right? There is less flexibility in the options that have historically been available to lower mid-market than there are upmarket.
Give us some examples of what you mean. What's the difference between if you did a much bigger loan on the same asset, and this is just four of the same thing, but divided by four. So instead of 120 units, it's 430 units.
Sure.
Same shit though.
Yeah.
What would be the difference for that borrower?
You have a significant willingness to be more flexible in structural terms that really make a difference. In prepayment structures.
Sure.
Right? And no punitive step down or yield maintenance.
Yep.
You know, you can have 12-month minimum interest.
And you're saying that the reason for a lot of that is the pain in the ass of lending on the smaller stuff?
It has to be standardized. It had to be standardized historically. So what you have is a lot of standardization.
Again, nothing to do with tech yet.
Nothing to do with tech.
Yep.
So what we did is raise capital to deploy to those same very high quality markets and submarkets, same asset class, same credit profile, operational capability, everything, just individual loan sizes that are smaller.
So now the question would be, how do you manage that efficiently?
Exactly.
With mitigating cognitive labor, so you're not like some ballooned ass fucking company.
Exactly.
And so you're like, efficient.
Exactly. So how do you make like, exactly, how do the economic unit metrics work? You actually have to do it more efficiently. And that is where the tools that we're building come into play. So
let me ask you just randomly, right? So it sounds to me, it's not opco propco, because it's not that type of thing, but you have a bucket of capital for lending, okay? And you raise that. What the operating business itself, right? Which we don't need to explain how you make money, and I know, but like my point is, there's an investment into the operating business to create, what did you call it? I would call it workflows. I don't know what you called it. The tech.
Oh, yeah. To build
tools. The tools that you wanted to build. Was that you guys putting that capital in?
We did put in some capital, but we also raised capital separately for what we're calling the opco here.
And did you take it as debt so that they don't owe any, or did you take it all as like equity and just you're a partner?
We raised venture dollars for that.
Really?
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was necessary. Well, whatever, you did what you did. But okay, so now are you building those tools?
Yeah. So what we've done is. We've built out an extremely experienced lending team. So
again, nothing to do with tech yet.
Nothing to do with tech. Yeah. So in this space, look, and you're when you are giving loans, you are also managing money for someone. That should not happen in a black box. What we're creating is not like black magic hoo-ha that we don't know what's going on. The system's just telling us what to do. It's not that at all.
Right, but one of them you just said is a tool for transparency.
Yes.
As a way of logging in to see your flow of capital, sir, investor. You don't have to call up Charlie at 4 a.m. freaking out. Just log into your own website and take a look.
Yes. So if you are, you know, hitting the market, sourcing transactions, you are screening each one manually, screening for your eligibility criteria, then screening each one to say, is this okay? It fits my eligibility criteria, my size, my geography, my asset class, but do I actually like it? Do I think it's a good deal? And you're screening for you know, is this something I can be competitive on with my loan programs? Then you're doing market research to effectively get the information needed to underwrite, to like inform your assumptions, right? Back to Reonomy days.
100%.
Then you need to model it, structure a loan, put together a memo. That is a process that has historically taken weeks to do. So how do we-
A process of sort of a ton of air gaps, not enhanced by any type of technology except Reonomy. I mean, literally, some of it would have been some research data analytics. Yeah. But other than that, it becomes a very human-based repetitive process.
Yeah. And by the way, people are also great at this, but the process still does take a long time.
I say it's making everyone Iron Man. I don't say you still need the human behind it. It's just nothing has changed. This is not a replacing the human game. This is a human being more efficient and just not wasting time on these mundane things.
Exactly. Remove the need to do the mundane tasks. Well, sorry, if you think about it as top of the funnel, it's how do you source transactions really?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Does it start with a digital marketing, which people don't realize? You could be recording conversations and getting binary. Like, people have no, it's very funny when you talk to real estate people about what they just don't understand about the way in which you should be driving leads.
So it's funny, actually. I learned this with Reonomy. There are some firms out there that have 100% systematized this. Like, we had clients that legitimately would close 50 to 100 transactions a year. And I mean, that's wild. Not SFR, like multifamily.
So it's interesting. And I think the audience really to understand is like, your tech is an enhancement to a traditional business that is ripe for disruption, not in the sense that like those guys, or women, or whoever you identify that are amazing in the game, you're just going to make them better. So you might as well take them from wherever they are. Say, I'll make you more efficient. It's called ease under this brand, and do what it's doing with just faster, better information to do the same thing that others were just doing in the past. Yeah. It's not, you didn't recreate the wheel.
Certainly the business, we didn't recreate the wheel. We have found a niche that we're incredibly excited about.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. Shit, I'm sitting here and I'm fucking excited.
And yeah. I appreciate that.
So when will you be really like, people should send you the deals?
So we just announced, we've been building pipeline for a little bit now. We just announced about 2 weeks ago that we exist. There has been, you know, the deal sourcing, it's working. We would love to see everyone's deals. We want to see anything transactional or, you know, looking for floating senior, stretch senior. That's right up our alley right now. And I wanted to get back to one of your points a second ago. You're right. It is 100% about making people, like simplifying our team's lives, but I think it's also about simplifying the borrower's lives. So I'll add one thing that, you know, that is very significant. A lot of loans don't close on the terms that were agreed upon in the application.
And many.
Many, many.
But that's also because the underwriting isn't there.
Exactly. It's because particularly in this part of the universe, small balance and lower middle market, because it's inefficient, people wait to sign up terms before underwriting begins. So what we wanted to do was front load that. So how do we do that? We need the tools that enable us
Service.
To do very thorough underwriting, but very quickly. So that is what we are arming our team with. Makes for happier days internally. And it makes for much better certainty of execution for the borrower.
It does, but you're going to have a battle between the friction of that borrower not being prepared yet with that information to onboard it, meaning they want to give you like top of the line, you know, a couple things to say, are you interested, and sort of them going full boat, but maybe you'll professionalize them. Even if you're doing 20, 30 units, like, you know what? Actually, you're going to have to underwrite it a little bit better because then you know certainty at those terms and does that have that value? But you'll determine that. You can actually test that.
Yeah. We just got live. There's going to be an enormous amount we're going to learn.
But see, what's that situation
has already, the one you just described has already arose.
And what's fascinating though is you're learning, right? Like, it's not that you know. You're not supposed to know. I think that that's like what's so amazing is that look at this guy, successful third time doing it, larger scale, saying to you, audience, we're not supposed to know. And I think that people have such a fear because I love that tech enables us to test a fucking message. You don't have to know the answer to not be successful. To be successful because you can now pivot, right? You can move and figure it out. And it didn't change the whole model.
Yeah. I think that's also a really important quality. And it's not knowing something is not a weakness. It's like a self-awareness, right? And
listen, I've been doing shadow work for about a year and a half and all fucking about it, okay? Yeah. You know, not at all is it a weakness, you know?
Wait, sorry, shadow work?
Yeah. The ability to look at yourself and then what you're proceeding to the universe without knowing where it's coming from so that you can maybe like heal or change, right?
Yeah.
Like the idea that every developer and every broker says they always win. Like, we know you're getting hurt, but why can't you then say it? What's about your ego, right? Your shadow is not allowing you to be honest.
No, I like that term. I hadn't heard it before.
Thank you, bro.
It's work and personal stuff.
That's right, bro. It all comes together.
You bring that skill home.
I'm trying.
Yeah. And you know, like, I've always been kind of like the garbage man at the company. I try to take all the worst of the work. And I think being able to do that is like recognition of like, I always think of the companies. It's like, where do we as a company have real pain points? Where do we really need help? Where can we
get someone? Radical transparency. We try to do it all the time also in my company. Like, we love you. You're great. Can we now talk about what's fucked up? Like, what is the problem? Like, this is not personal. Do you know what I also think?
I think about it with regard. Yeah.
Yeah. Go.
Oh, no. I was just saying, I think about it just, it's not directed at individuals. It's just like, as a company, what are we not
but you have to first tell the human, it's not about you. Let's talk about this. But my point is, I think what's so crazy, and I've only learned it by hanging out with enough of the tech culture, right? And that is, we need to fail to learn. And since you've proven so many times, people now have to say that that's okay. And I guarantee you that ease pops off, regardless if we can say it's a macro or it's the workflows or the tools you created. I guarantee you that it works because I'm just so shocked all the time and just so happy that I get to talk to dudes like you to realize how backward real estate is. And by the time they really figured out what this conversation was about, it'll be too fucking late.
It's funny, right? Investors have been doing so well in this space for, I don't know if millennia is appropriate because I don't know.
You don't know what the Bible and the Torah were saying about it?
Yeah. What did Akris say about? It doesn't matter. But it's funny, right? It's like, don't fix what's not broken.
100%, but now it's broken. All right, last part of ours. We do a rapid fire questions. Are you ready? How has the current economic climate impacted your business?
Capital sources, across the board, are constantly reevaluating their theses, as they should be, as are we. And the needs of borrowers have really evolved. So the types of loan programs that were really, really popular from like 2010 to 2021, not really popular. today.
Hell yeah.
Right?
So the change is good.
New challenges require new loan products or new types of flexibility. So both challenging and a tailwind at the same time.
Why do you think prop tech is important to real estate? From the fucking Godfather.
It's such a good question. I think it's really about the intersection of like real estate, technology, and finance. For something to really stick around, it needs to make a broader impact than like an enhancement on a single building. I think the gold standard would be truly if it could improve the quality of the lives of all the tenants. Like in our country, we have a housing crisis, right? For many reasons that I'd prefer not to begin enumerating.
Of course, don't worry.
It should be at the end of the day, we should create an environment for ourselves where developers, investors, financiers, and tenants all have a really positive outcome. And I think technology has a part to play in that, whether it's like reducing costs or increasing quality of life aspects.
Or standardizing experience.
Standardizing a high quality experience.
Of course. Or whatever. It's high quality. It's about that human. Maybe they don't want, they want this, whatever they define, it can be created.
Yeah. I really think about real estate in the frame of like in multifamily, it's the human experience. Right. Like we all know what it's like to be renters. My first apartment in New York was a studio that I shared with someone. And then my second apartment was a studio in the basement. Next to the compactor room building, that one was pretty rough.
Of course.
So I don't know. It's a very tangible human thing. And I think at the end of the day, creating like an inclusive scenario where everyone wins.
And you think tech can handle
has
that?
Has a role to play in it. Like I was – this is kind of a tangent, but today I was reading – I forgot where it is. But I was reading about – someplace that they were enhancing their roadways so that the roadways could charge electric vehicles while driving on them.
Mm.
It's interesting because the car manufacturer and the owner developer of the roadway are not
talking
the same. Probably not
even
talking
about each other in the production. Yeah.
Definitely not the same like entity, right? But I think they've created a scenario that is really positive. Right?
Awesome.
And I think over the coming, call it 10 years or so, I hope to see something similar. And I really, really do hope it would be like my personal goal that Ease has a part to play in it in helping encourage improvements in multifamily real estate in the part of the market that we play in.
Right?
I don't think it's just limited to like mega projects.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming through, brother. We'll definitely be watching Ease out there, hopefully sending you some deals.
I hope so. I'm still waiting.
All right. Thank you. You know what I'm talking about? I bring you the people changing the game, okay? For the first time that we've seen, he said, you know what? I've made technology for others. Now I'm going to look at the macro thesis. The debt markets are changing. I'm going to create workflows and tools for my business. I'm going to be able to standardize a practice that we saw in the single family home that Invitation Homes was doing, but I'm going to do it to the debt markets. We better pay attention to what he's doing because if it works, and it will work, then he's going to have funds of funds of funds, and it's going to go huge. So pay attention. We only bring you the best guests. And again, if you see me on the street, say what's up to the big man. I'm out here in these streets. Peace.